From Spark and Anvil and Depth Quest, this is Smoke, in Chapter 1 of the Depth Quest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. 4,000 meters down, where sunlight was only a rumor from another world, Smoke stood beside a crack in the seafloor and watched his neighborhood breathe. He was a too-warm tween, soft and plush, not spiky the way people imagine deep-sea creatures should be. His trunk was cream-colored, and a bright red plume fanned from the top of him like a flower that had decided to be alive. He moved slowly, unhurried, the way you move when you have the whole dark ocean and all the time in it. Around him, hot water shimmered up through the vent, and everywhere the water touched, things thrived. Crabs picked their way across the rock. Shrimp darted through the plumes. Whole gardens of worms swayed in a current, warmed by the planet itself. Smoke tapped the laminated card he always carried, and his plume twitched. On the card, four words glowed faintly. Hydrogen sulfide, methane, hydrogen, iron. Not decoration, fuel. "That's breakfast," he said softly, to no one and to everyone, "for trillions of bacteria, the first meal in a whole food web, in a place the sun has never once visited." He said it the way other people said good morning, as if it were the most ordinary miracle in the world. Smoke had grown up believing the deep was full, not empty. His family were vent dwellers near the East Pacific Rise. Tube worms had lived for generations in the chemical-fed towns that bloomed around the cracks in the crust. His earliest memory was of his grandmother pressing a chemical card into his young segments and saying the sentence he would carry his whole life. "Everyone up top thinks life needs the sun," she told him. "Green plants, bright flowers, sunshine on somebody's back." She gestured at the glowing vent, the swaying worms, the crabs going about their business in the eternal dark. "Then explain this." Smoke, small then, hadn't been able to. That was the point. "There's more than one way to power a living thing," she said. "Sunlight is one recipe. Down here, we use the other one, chemistry. The bacteria eat the chemicals straight out of the vent. They turn them into food, and everything you can see is standing on top of that meal." She'd folded his segments over the card. "Don't ever let anyone tell you the dark is dead. The dark is crowded." He'd believed her. He believed her still. When he was 13, Smoke walked to Depth Quest to see if he belonged there. And Marlin, the wise old mentor of the academy, asked him one question in her low, humming voice. "What is the abyssal zone?" Smoke didn't hesitate, and he didn't recite. He told her what he'd watched breathe. 4,000 to 6,000 meters down, flat dark plains, and then a vent field, and everything changes. Hot water gushes out of the seafloor, superheated by magma, carrying chemicals. Bacteria eat the chemicals and make food without a single ray of light. Tube worms host the bacteria inside their bodies. Crabs eat the worms. A whole food web. He paused. "It's the same biology lesson everyone learns up top, just with a different fuel poured in at the bottom. Chemistry instead of sunshine." Marlin studied him for a long moment. Then she nodded once. "You are appointed." It was all Smoke needed to hear. Smoke's workshop at the academy smelled faintly of salt and something metallic, like old pennies. Scaled-down vent chimneys stood twisted and dark on his work tables, and clear tanks held shimmering tube worm samples that fanned open and shut. A young recruit stood in front of a big screen where a vent erupted, spewing dark clouds into the water. "Why is the water going black?" the recruit asked, half a step back. "That looks like something's wrong." "Nothing's wrong," Smoke said, and there was a smile in it. "That's a black smoker. It gets its name from the iron compounds. They darken the seawater as they pour out. The chemistry is fierce. And the bacteria? He leaned his plume toward the screen. The bacteria love it. He pointed to a 2-meter worm in the nearest tank. That fellow has no mouth, no gut. Instead, he grows a garden inside himself, an organ called a trophosome, packed with bacteria. He gives them a safe home and the chemicals they crave. They give him food. Neither one could live without the other. Smoke turned back to the recruit. It looks alien. It looks like a monster movie. But it isn't. It's a partnership. It's a town that figured out how to eat rock and heat. The recruit's step back had turned into a lean forward. So the whole thing runs on no sun at all? No sun at all, Smoke said. We didn't even know it existed until 1977. A little submarine called Alvin went down and found it. In one afternoon, it rewrote the biology books. His voice went quieter, warmer. So if you ever feel like science has already figured everything out, remember that. Less than 50 years ago, we hadn't the faintest idea that whole worlds were living at the bottom of our own ocean. He tilted his card so the recruit could read it. Chemistry is life's other recipe, and it might be the recipe that's running right now on some icy moon, Europa, Enceladus, far from any sun at all. The recruit stayed after the others had gone, watching the black smoker plume on and on across the screen. He wasn't scared of it anymore. He looked the way you look when a locked door turns out to open. I always thought the deep sea was empty, he admitted, cold and dark and dead. Most people do. Smoke settled his plume. That's why I like showing them. The recruit was quiet a while, and Smoke let him be. He knew the feeling arriving in the boy. He'd felt it himself, small and stunned beside his grandmother's vent, the moment the dark stopped being frightening and started being full. It came up like warmth after cold water, a loosening somewhere behind the ribs, a grin that wouldn't quite go away. The particular gladness of a world turning out bigger and kinder than you'd been told. The recruit let out a slow breath, and his shoulders came down, and he stood there in the light of the glowing vent, feeling for the first time completely at home in the deepest, darkest place there is.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Smoke. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.